რადიო თავისუფლება FM 107.4.
ლაბარაკობს რადიო თავისუფლება. ჩვენი მოწყობილობა გრძელდება ახალი ამბებით. პრაღის სტუდიაში მიკროფონთან არის სოხრობი რუხაძე. ბრიუსელში შეხვედრებს მართავს საქართველოს სამთავრობო დელეგაცია. საფრანგეთის პოლიციამ მთელი ქვეყნის მასშტაბით 150-მდე რეიდი განახორციელა, მიაკვლიეს იარაღის არსენალს. ამერიკის შეერთებული შტატების და რუსეთის პრეზიდენტებმა ხანმოკლე შეხვედრა გამართეს დიდი უცხოურის სამიტის კულვარებში. ამ და სხვა ამბებს ახლა დაწვრილებით გაგაცნობთ. ბრიუსელში დღეს შეხვედრებს მართავს საქართველოს სამთავრობო დელეგაცია პრემიერ-მინისტრის ირაკლი ღარიბაშვილის ხელმძღვანელობით. დღეს დაგეგმილი იყო შეხვედრა საქართველოს ევროკავშირის ასოცირებულ საბჭოში, რომელზეც ქართული მხარე თავის ანგარიშს წარადგენს. ბრიუსელშია საქართველოს საგარეო საქმეთა მინისტრი გიორგი კვირიკაშვილი, რომელიც დღეს ხვდება ევროკავშირის სახელმწიფოთა საგარეო საქმეთა მინისტრებს. საგარეო საქმეთა სამინისტროს ინფორმაციით, მხარეები განიხილავენ ასოცირების შეთანხმების და სავიზო რეჟიმის ლიბერალიზაციის სამოქმედო გეგმის შესრულების საკითხებს და ევროკომისიის ანგარიშს, რომელიც დეკემბერში გამოქვეყნდება. ამერიკის შეერთებული შტატების და საქართველოს სტრატეგიული პარტნიორობის ქარტიის ფარგლებში მოქმედმა დემოკრატიისა და მართლობის სამუშაო ჯგუფმა გაავრცელა ერთობლივი განცხადება, რომელიც ვაშინგტონში 12 ნოემბერს გამართულ შეხვედრას შეეხება. განცხადება ოფიციალურ ვებსაიტზე გამოაქვეყნა საქართველოს საგარეო საქმეთა სამინისტრომ. მხარეებმა დაადასტურეს 2016 წლის საპარლამენტო არჩევნებისთვის პოლიტიკური პარტიებისა და კანდიდატებისთვის სამართლიანი, თანასწორი და კონკურენტული საარჩევნო გარემოს და პოლიტიკური, მედია და სამოქალაქო საზოგადოების წარმომადგენლებისთვის ღია, პლურალისტული და დამოუკიდებელი სივრცის მნიშვნელობა. ამავე განცხადების თანახმად, შეერთებულმა შტატებმა დადებითად შეაფასა ბოლო ხანს განვითარებული პროცესი, რომელიც იძლევა რუსთავი ორის სადაო საქმეზე სააპელაციო პროცედურების გაგრძელების შესაძლებლობას. თქვენთ რადიო თავისუფლებას ეთერშია ახალი ამბები. საფრანგეთის პრემიერ-მინისტრის მანუელ ვალსის თქმით, ამ ქვეყნის პოლიციამ მთელი ქვეყნის მასშტაბით 150-მდე რეიდი მოაწყო პარიზში სისხლიანი ტერაქტების შემდეგ. საეჭვო ისლამისტების გამოსავლენად პოლიციის თანახმად ალიონზე ჩატარებული ოპერაციების დროს დააკავეს არაერთი პირი, მიაგნეს არსენალს. პოლიცია ეძებს პარიზში 13 ნოემბერს მოწყობილი ტერორისტული აქტების მომწყობი ჯგუფის გადარჩენილ მონაწილეებს. 13 ნოემბერს საფრანგეთის დედაქალაქში მოწყობილი ტერაქტების შედეგად 132 ადამიანი დაიღუპა. 7 თავდამსხმელი ასევე მოკვდა თავდასხმების დროს, მათი უმეტესობა თვითმკვლელის ქამრის აფეთქების შედეგად. პრემიერ-მინისტრის თანახმად თავდასხმები დაგეგმილი იყო სირიაში. გაეროს გენერალური მდივანი ბან კი მუნი საერთაშორისო საზოგადოების მხრიდან სირიის კრიზისის გადასაჭრელად საჩქარო და ეფექტიანი ნაბიჯების გადადგმას მოითხოვს. ამის შესახებ გენერალურმა მდივანმა გუშინ დიდი ოცეულის სამიტზე სიტყვით გამოსვლისას განაცხადა. განსაკუთრებით მიმართა რუსეთის საგარეო საქმეთა მინისტრ სერგეი ლავროვსა და შეერთებული შტატების სახელმწიფო მდივანს ჯონ კერის, რათა მან დააჩქარონ ურთიერთქმედება სირიის პრობლემასთან მიმართებით. ახლა დადგა დრო, როდესაც მათ და მთელმა საერთაშორისო საზოგადოებამ კოლექტიურად უნდა იმოქმედონ, საჩქაროდ უნდა გამონახონ სირიის პრობლემის გადაჭრის გზები და დასრულდეს ძალადობა, თქვა ბან კი მუნმა. საფრანგეთის სამხედრო საჰაერო ძალებმა ისლამურ სახელმწიფოზე იერიშები განახორციელეს ოპერაციაში 10-მდე თვითმფრინავი მონაწილეობდა. საფრანგეთის არმიის ცნობით სამიზნე იყო ისლამური სახელმწიფოს სამეთაურო პუნქტი, რომელიც იარაღის საბრძოლო მასალების საწყობად გამოიყენებოდა. ამერიკის შეერთებული შტატებისა და რუსეთის პრეზიდენტებმა ბარაკ ობამამ და ვლადიმერ პუტინმა ხანმოკლე შეხვედრა გამართეს დიდი ოცეულის სამიტის კულვარებში. თურქეთში თეატრის ახლის თანახმად 35 წუთს გაგრძელებული საუბრისას ობამამ და პუტინმა სირიის სამოქალაქო ომის გარშემო ელაპარაკეს და შეთანხმდნენ, რომ ქვეყანას სჭირდება პოლიტიკური გარდამავალი ეტაპი. ახალი ამბები მოისმინეთ თქვენ ლაბარაკობს რადიო თავისუფლება.
Welcome to the Soul Lounge. The Soul Lounge is now open. And here's your host, the Lady DJ.
Welcome back to the Soul Lounge. As you know, this is my favorite part of the week. I'm the Lady DJ, and this is where I get to share the music that makes my heart sing. You see, these are the artists and the songs that are on constant rotation in my car, in my home, in my ear, when I'm running around town. And as usual, I'm going to give you favorites, but then two, hip you to some of the artists that you need to know. And then in the second half of the show, we're going to revisit my conversation with singer Timothy Bloom. It appears since I introduced him to you earlier this year and since he's toured around the world, quite a few of you have checked him out and have come to love him as much as I do. And well, since your request is my command, I've got him coming up. Plus, we will check in with Nikki Strong for Strong in the City this week. She is going to tell us about a book that deals with an issue that remains extremely taboo in the hip-hop culture. So, are you ready? Let's get started with music from Tamar Braxton, who needs all of the healing energy you can send her way. In case you have not heard, last week she was hospitalized with pneumonia, and after being admitted, it was discovered that she also had blood clots on her lungs. Now, Tamar has been touring with Mary J. Blige, co-hosting a daytime television show called The Real, and was a contestant on Dancing with the Stars. Now, that is in addition to being a wife and a mom. She's taken a break from all of that, thankfully, to focus on her health. And all of us here at Soul Lounge are sending her tons of healing and love and, of course, light. Here is Tamar Braxton with If I Don't Have You inside the Soul Lounge.
Sitting in the dark, off in my room, thinking of you, I'm at the brink of me breaking down.
It sounds so good.
The latest from Emin featuring the legendary Nile Rodgers. Now, Emin is from Russia, and he is positioned to be the first male Russian pop star to cross over into international mainstream pop. Having someone like Nile Rodgers, who has worked with pretty much every heavy hitter in the business, is not going to hurt his chances at all. Again, that was Boomerang. Coming up next, Rafael Sadiq. This song is from his 2002 album called Instant Vintage. This is also a song that he wrote the night R&B singer Aaliyah was killed. He told Billboard magazine that he was feeling kind of, and this is his word, angel-y about her, and so he came up with this. Charity Smith joins Rafael on vocals. The song is called Sky, Can You Hear Me? Next, Inside the Soul Lounge.
I wanna be with you every day. everything we do, we're gonna be just fine. It's not by mistake. Ooh, I'll never walk
away. Never felt this way before. For the feeling that you give to me, I can't ignore. You're my joy. You truly do enlighten me. You're all I'll ever want and need. You got the best of me. So baby, come with me. Come with me. You got me wild. From your majesty, tell me, can you feel me, feel me?
You were singing from up above. You came down and you showed me love. I can look in your pretty eyes. Girl, you got everything inside.
Never felt this way before.
You know, each week I check in with my good friend Nikki Strong to see where she's been, what concerts she's checked out, who she's met, and of course kind of letting us know what everyone is talking about. So yes, it is time now for Strong in the City. Hey, Nikki Strong, how are you?
I'm fine. Shauna, how are you?
Good. Welcome back to the Soul Lounge.
Thank you.
So, you know, you and I hang out quite a bit, and we very often discuss hip-hop culture.
Sure.
And because both of us have kind of been in and around it for a little while, we have seen some of the shifts, the cultural shifts that have taken place within the context of hip-hop.
Yeah.
And I know that there are things that we see today in 2015 that even 10 years ago would have been unheard of, completely taboo in that culture.
Yeah.
And so I know today we're going to talk a little bit about one of those things that is especially that is really working its way into the culture via television and music and reality.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing discussions of, you know, acceptance of alternative relationships and lifestyles. We're seeing it in the entertainment. We're seeing it in Empire. We're seeing it in the Love and Hip Hop franchise, Love and Hip Hop Hollywood in particular. We're seeing it in Tyler Perry. So all of this kind of took me back to a book that I remember being released back in 2008 called Hiding in Hip Hop, Confessions of a Down Low Brother in the Entertainment Industry. And this book is a key contributor to the shift that we are seeing now in these discussions that are happening on the national stage. And this book tells his personal story of Terrence Dean, the author, struggling with his own sexuality while in the entertainment industry, and all of the like-minded individuals that he encounters during his work. I got to call him up, and I said, okay, Terrence. And I asked him, I said, you know, do you watch the Love and Hip Hop Hollywood show?
I do.
Okay. When you watch, now, I mean, I do too. When you heard about the Love and Hip Hop Hollywood series having like a black male gay couple, what ran through your mind?
People in the industry say that no, there are no gay people in hip hop, and there's no space for gay men in hip hop. So the fact that they were taking that plunge into that area and allowing black love to be expressed, especially between two black men, I was very excited and looking forward to it.
And Shauna, I also asked him about, you know, what does he think about the general depiction of black gay men in some of the scripted shows like Empire and Tyler Perry's The Have and the Have Nots?
There is not a normalizing of black gay men. It has to be the extreme, highly, you know, caricatured black gay identity that we are the, you know, the accessories of all women, being the black gay best friend, feminized to, you know, emasculate black gay men.
Right.
But I think Empire does a great job with the character Jamal.
Mm-hmm.
Since Empire, in addition to being a television show, now is like a musical franchise, really. We're going to go ahead and jump to a song from the Empire.
It's very interesting to hear
from someone who is on the inside.
Thank you, Nikki.
Who really has a vested interest in making sure that those characters are true to life. So I respect the work that he's done. And again, what is the book called?
It's called Hiding in Hip Hop, Confessions of a Down Low Brother in the Entertainment Industry. It's a great read. I mean, and it's really multidimensional. So it really is about a journey of self-acceptance and self-love. And he touches upon a lot of issues. He talks about family. His mom was diagnosed with AIDS when AIDS was first coming out, and no one knew what it was. So that's really interesting. There's a lot of back scenes, behind the scenes, you know, sexy stuff. There's some sexy scenes too. But overall, it's a great read. I personally think it would make a great movie. Hey.
Oh, put it out there.
Hey, I told Terrence, too. I was like, you need to think about making this into a movie. And he did the same thing. You're like, okay, put it out there.
Well,
but you can find out more about Terrence. You can go to his Facebook page, Terrence Dean. He's also on Twitter, at Terrence Dean, TerranceDean.
All right, very good. Well, thank you again, Nikki. Speaking of Empire, since Empire, in addition to being a television show, now is like a musical franchise, really, we're going to go ahead and jump to a song from the Empire soundtrack, season one.
Oh, oh, oh. Give you all of me, but it still ain't enough to me.
keep trying, and you just keep making me jump through hoops. What do I gotta do? I just want you to look at me and see that I can be worth your love. I just want you to look at me and see that I can be good enough.
Don't forget, if you have a request that you'd like me to play on the Soul Lounge, social media is the best way to get at me. I am on Facebook, Twitter, and now Instagram at VOA Lady DJ. Just search it and you'll find me. Don't move, because coming up during the second half, a very special encore performance from Timothy Bloom as we move things into the VIP room on the Soul Lounge.
I went down into the valley cut. You said you'd never fly. Woke up to a 5-course breakfast and a smile to light the sky.
From the ambient R&B sounds of yesteryears to today's new soul experience, you are now inside the Soul Lounge.
Hello there, how are you? It's Shauna Renee, and welcome to the VIP room inside the Soul Lounge. I am so excited to bring you another artist who is on the rise. You definitely want to make sure that you add him to his playlist. Timothy Bloom is here with me today. Hey, Timothy.
Hi.
How are you?
Pretty good.
Welcome to the Soul Lounge.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Now, you are here at our studios in Washington, D.C., but you've traveled a little ways. You're based in LA, right?
Yeah, out in LA.
Yeah, where are you from originally, though?
Military kid. Mm-hmm. My dad was in the military, so I was born in Texas. We traveled from Alaska to Tulsa to North Carolina. That's where I was pretty much bred, in North Carolina, raised there. So.
Okay. Did you live anywhere overseas? I know a lot of military families will sometimes be based.
Before I was born, they lived in Germany, but after I graduated, I moved to Germany for like a year.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. Now, did I read correctly, though, that one of your parents was also a church leader, a pastor?
Yeah, my parents are pastors.
Both of your parents mm-hmm. were pastors. Were they pastors, like, in the military?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I also read that in your house, I guess because of that, like, it was all gospel music. Like, there was no secular music.
All gospel music.
Yeah?
Yep.
So I want to let you tell the story, because I've read so many, like, I've read books and had interviews with folks, and they say that's how it was in our house. However, I found way to listen to what I wanted to listen to. So I imagine, because as we will hear a little later on, you are influenced by other forms of music mm-hmm. that growing up you found ways to listen to other
Absolutely.
Kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we were growing, I mean, from the Clark sisters, the William brothers, to like Shirley Caesar, like that was
in
it.
The house.
That was in the house.
Okay.
They were very, very strict. I was the rebellious child, mm-hmm. you know? So, I mean, I just remember the one time where I was kind of like fed up. We were in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I packed a little, you know, runaway bag, and I was running away, and I took my mom's keys. I was a little kid.
Ooh, you were bold.
Yeah,
okay.
And I went to the car, and, you know, just cranked it as much as I could, where, you know, the battery comes on and the lights come on, and I'm able to hear the radio. And the first song that came on was Bob Dylan, Lay Lady Lay. So I was like, oh, wow. And I just sat there and I was, you know, just you know, listened and got lost in it, and then I started flipping through channels and listening to all this music, and I was just always wondered, why couldn't we listen to this type of music? You know, it's just all about love. What's wrong with it, you know?
So how old were you at the time?
I think it was like around 7, 8.
Okay, so you had a very basic understanding of what it was. But if you could describe, like, what was it about that music? What was it about that particular song by Bob Dylan or anything else that you heard that just resonated with you?
I think it was more the tone, the sound. You know, when you hear gospel music, you hear gospel music. You know it's gospel music. And, like, the first record was Lay, Lady, Lay. Lay, Lady, Lay. And it's just like, wait, what's this? You know, and I think for me, it tugged on my heart a little bit. And I just wanted to listen. Mm. And then Michael Jackson and then all that stuff, you know, you start to hear. And then you start hearing about Prince. And then you start hearing about groups like High Five and all that stuff, you know. So it's like, let me listen.
Oh, now did your parents know, or when did they discover that you were doing this?
My older brother started watching music videos when my mom and parents, when they would go to work. So when we come home from school, he just has the music channel on the whole time. And we got caught. And my mom came home early, and she's like, oh, okay, so this is what you guys do when I'm not here, you know. So they found out, you know, obviously we're getting older, and So
then talk to me about that transition from just kind of falling in love with music, because I think we all do that. We're all fans of music, but not all of us are musicians.
Right.
So when did you discover that about yourself?
Well, I mean, I started playing drums. From then on, I wanted to, like, you know, do something inside the church that had a musical instrument. So I started playing the drums when I was like 8, 9 years old. And from there, my mom was playing piano in the church because we needed a piano player. And then one day, like, she came home from her piano lessons, and I just started to pick up everything she would play on the piano by ear. So that's when I started to play the piano in the church. And, you know, my dad would take me to all his sermons and stuff like that, and I would play. So now he's the musician, so we're going to have him in the church every single Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday, right? So,
well, I mean, but it paid off.
Oh, it definitely paid off.
Probably in more ways than one.
Oh my gosh, in so many ways. I just started to gain a level of, you know, respect for the music and a lot of musicians. This one guy, he used to play organs at the church by Anthony King, and oh my gosh, like that, I just sat under him and just pretty much studied everything that he would do on the organs, on the drums, the pianos. It was phenomenal.
Mm. And so many, especially soul and R&B artists, so many of them come from the church, and we hear it all the time. It sounds kind of cliche. Like, of course you started singing in the church, but I think people don't realize how talented so many of the folks who are in church just for that purpose are there. I mean, they're there. And I think I asked the artist Avery Sunshine this in an interview that we did before about the difference between singing in the church and singing sort of secular music on stage. And, you know, we know what the physical difference is, but, like, how it feels. Mm-hmm. Do you feel a difference?
You know, like, singing, you know, like a church song and doing the stuff that I do on stage, it's all the same thing, because I want to pull from the same spirit that, you know, when I write these songs, I know it doesn't come from me, it comes from a higher power. So, like, when I'm on stage, like, I like to tap into that spirit, you know. And I feel like the music, any genre of music, is called gospel. It's the good news. If you're spreading good news, for me, I think it's gospel music, you know. So I don't think it's a difference, you know, because I'm not, you know, trying to talk about anything else but besides either it's love making, trying to fix relationship. I had a bad time in a relationship, but it worked out eventually, you know, later on down the line. And my objective is to remain positive in the music that I'm doing and trying to put out. So, like, I don't feel a difference.
Mm-hmm. And you are a songwriter. You write almost all of your stuff. And you've written for other people. Did I read that you've written for, was it Smokey Robinson and Ne-Yo?
Yeah. So my first major big situation was with Smokey Robinson.
Your first major situation was with Smokey Robinson. Mm-hmm. That's something to say.
Later on down the line, I was placed in situations where Neo got a hold to one of my tracks and a production, and we won a Grammy on his Because of You album. And then later on, I wrote and produced a record for Chris Brown on his Fame album, and we won a Grammy for that.
So we have a multiple Grammy award-winning songwriter inside the Soul Lounge right now.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, all right. Only the best, right? Okay. Well, why don't we hear something? Since we've got you in front of the keyboard, what are you going to play for us?
This is the single that I have out right now. There's a video with Herbie Hancock. He's playing my father. And I'll do a rendition of that.
Okay.
That's cool.
Please do. There we go. Timothy Bloom.
Right there, out far in the distance, I can see it so clear, it's what I've been missing. I'm like a rolling stone, it's coming down heavy, just to get to your love, baby, you better get ready, cause nothing's gonna get in the way. Turning, still determined, I wanna do harder days. Baby, I need you, baby, I need you. Oh, oh, nothing's gonna stand in the way of my love, 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 love. Nothing's gonna stand in the way of my love, love, yeah, my love, afraid I might lose my mind and do something crazy. Pull the moon down out of the sky and say you love me, baby. I'm like a raging sea, the scorch of the summer. Nothing like the devil, but I'm bound to take you under. Nothing's gonna get in the way. The fire's burning, it's what I'm yearning. Gonna do all the days. You're gonna need me like I want you. Can't stand. Nothing's gonna stand in the way of my love, love, love. Nothing's gonna stand in the way of my love, my love, my love, my love, my love.
Nice. Thank you, Timothy Bloom. So the album is out now. It is self-titled.
Yeah.
Timothy Bloom. Now, this is your second project because you had an EP, right? That was released 2010?
Yep. 2010, I had an EP called The Budding Rose that came out under Interscope.
Okay. And if someone wants to find it, it's probably still on iTunes
still
and all that. So then let's talk about the difference between that. 2010, here we are now, 4 years later. What's the difference between the music, the artist?
Well, this time around, granted, I've been blessed to be a part of like a major situation, you know, with the likes of Jimmy Iovine, Andy Slater's, your Timbaland and Polo the Don, and I just learned a lot about the business, you know, and so when we parted ways, I was able to like sit back, reflect, and just become more free in what I wanted to do without being boxed in or with all these cooks in the kitchen trying to, you know, add the different spices. You know, some spices were perfect, some spices were just unnecessary. So, but now, like in even an independent situation, it's just more freedom. I'm able to do what actually I love to do and not be put in the box or be set in some genre they're trying to box me in. So, you know, and for me, there's a variety of things that I love doing. I'm influenced by a lot, from your Jeff Buckley's to your Marvin Gaye, your Al Green's, your Nina Simone's, and I like to influence those things inside the music. So that's what pretty much you hear. So you have a variety for everybody that wants to like hear different types of music in this one album.
So because you have so many different influences, do some of them influence your songwriting? Some of them influence your musical sound? Is it a combination of all of that that goes into what you're doing?
It's pretty much a combination of everything, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, simple, super. It's like a rainbow of colors, like a rainbow of music. Yeah.
All right. So let's go back to the writing, though, because I'm fascinated by writers. I think songwriters are phenomenal in their ability to be so open and vulnerable about their own experiences. But I'm also amazed at their ability to write songs for other people. And I'm wondering, is it more difficult for you to, let's say, write a song for a Neo or with a Neo or Chris Brown than it is to write one for a Timothy Bloom or reverse?
Well, the interesting thing is, like, every time I get in these type of situations, they always ask me to write a Timothy Bloom song. So it's almost, it's like, do you. Go and write whatever comes out. And, don't think about me or the artist, because even with Chris Brown, when he asked me to write a record, because he wanted to use one of the songs off of the Budding Rose EP that came out. And but obviously we couldn't do that. So I was like, I'll write one for you. But in that time, I was going through something, not thinking about Chris. Mm. So, and then all of a sudden, I sent it over and he loved it. So it was perfect timing.
I think that's what the beautiful thing is, like, about authentic songwriting. It's like we all go through the same things.
Yep.
They may look slightly different, but if you're really being honest, then anyone could take that song and find a way to relate it to whatever their experience.
Absolutely. I agree.
I think that's the beautiful thing about all music, but especially like soul music and R&B music. do you have a muse, or is life your muse, or
everything around me? Everything around me is pretty much my inspiration. I pull from the skies. It comes down, Yeah, everything around me, life definitely is the muse.
Do you like get into a quiet room and light a candle and write, or are you the one like writing on the toilet paper when you sit
like
in the bathroom?
That's where my best songs come from. Is ironically in the bathroom for some strange reason.
Right.
But
that's where my best questions come from. That's why I brought it up.
We could be in here right now and like something will spark, and I'll just immediately, if I have something close by, I'll either jot it down and get it out, before it goes away, because creativity goes quick. So.
And yeah, I find that to be the case for a lot of people. They say if you don't get it,
it's
like
gone.
They'll wake up in the middle of the night and writing stuff down like on the end table. Yeah, definitely. All right. Let's talk a little bit about soul music. Now, again, it is impossible to box you in because you are inspired by so many things. But one of the things I think that you do is perform soul music, what we consider that. And there's been a lot of talk recently about the viability of this thing that we call soul or R&B or neo soul. And I've asked almost everyone where they are in that position. Is it still vital? Is it still alive? Is it still real? Or, as I think it was Tank said one day, it's dead, forget it, let's find something else.
I think it's still alive. I think it will always be here. Like, if you're in your true self and you dig deep into your core, your soul is going to come out. Some people are just on the surface. I'm kind of like, an introvert. Like, I like to dig deep and then sing out. Not just sing out and then trying to find it later. Like, everything, comes from here for me.
Okay.
So I can only speak for myself, because
sure.
When I'm on stage, like, I like to dig deep inside my soul. That's my soul. Like, and if people like to call it soul music, yeah, because I'm really digging deep into my true core, my true self, to bring forth life and to the music, because I feel like without that, the music would be dead. If we're not coming from your true self or your true core, I think it's alive. I think people just need to dig deep within themselves to bring it forth.
And being an independent artist like you and so many others, it gives us as music lovers an opportunity to hear more, because it seems like you have the ability to just put the music out if you want to put it out on YouTube or just put it directly to iTunes or whatever it is that you're using.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people like that are giving they're giving their all, and that I feel like that's the soul, that's the soul, and sometimes, you know, they're, you don't see it because it's not exposed to music lovers, you know. Right. Well, luckily now you can go to a YouTube and find your independent artists or your underground artists that are like really keeping the soul music alive and really coming for the, you know, coming from this thing right here, mm-hmm. and it's just pouring out of them. Like you could tell, mm-hmm. you could tell when a person has that true soul when mm-hmm. it pours out. You start to get those chills.
Yeah, the goosebumps. Yeah, definitely. Performing live. Now, mm-hmm. obviously, because we make a lot of money when we perform to large groups, mm-hmm. we like to perform to large groups. But all that aside, because you have a way of connecting, like even as we sit here and you sing, you have this way of connecting with the audience. Do you prefer a smaller, more intimate group, or do you like the larger crowd?
It's very interesting.
Does it matter?
It does matter. It does matter because okay. I know being on, like, I was on tour with Ledisi, and I was on tour with Janelle Monae and Fun and all them, and you know those were big crowds, mm-hmm. and you know you can feel the people's energy, and it was like, okay, I can get on stage and everything's cool. But like small, like, you know, like bam, oh my God, why am I so nervous? I'm just shaking. Oh my God, I'm so blown away, person. You
right.
know? So. But you can feel that one person's intimacy and energy like so quicker than that big, large of a crowd, where it makes you nervous because there's an extreme connection, you know, and mm-hmm. you don't know what you're fighting against.
Right.
You know? So, I mean, I like it all. Like, it just, you know, makes me stronger. Just to
okay. Okay. Well, we have a pretty intimate setting here inside mm-hmm. the VIP room, yep. so why don't we go ahead?
I'm nervous.
And have you go relax, take a deep breath,
that was fun.
And we'll hear something else. So what are we going to hear now?
I will play, so this is a song called Diamond.
Okay.
It's called Diamond in the Rough. Well, not Diamond in the Rough, but I mean, it has a little liner.
Concrete jungle, I like to play, yeah. Danger all around me, where is my prey, yeah. The pain is bittersweet, that ends in sorrow, oh, 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 oh. Protect your heart and mind and we'll see. Sparkle in my eye, worth more to me than any money could buy. Bye. She's my diamond, my diamond, my diamond, diamond, diamond. She's my diamond, diamond. She's my diamond, my diamond, my diamond, diamond, diamond. She's my diamond. Break me off a piece and watch my profit. Oh. Grow to love me unreligiously. Spare no winter feelings for my fortune. Protect your heart and mind and breathe so through. The snakes are proud to get you. My diamond, diamond in the rough, safely put away in my pretty piggy bank. Yeah, she's my diamond, the sparkle in my eye, worth more to me than any money could buy. Bye. She's my diamond, my diamond, my diamond, diamond, diamond. She's my diamond. Oh, come, come, come out, shine my diamond, my diamond, my diamond, diamond, diamond. She's my diamond.
All right, Timothy Bloom, I like that one. That's a good driving music, you know, window down. Yeah. That's nice, right? Singing about me. All right. So I would be remiss because I think when we talk about artists, we've got to talk about the music, but aesthetics play a really big part in all artists. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like looking at the bling. Like, talk to me about what you have around your neck.
Well, it's not really bling.
I know. I'm just fooling. Yeah.
Well, these are all like, you know, handmade pieces that over the years I've just kind of collected from people's energy. Like, I was walking through New York. And I mean, obviously, it's the eye of the clock here, which is the face of time. This is a half of a face, and there's the clock here.
Okay.
So which is, I mean, the face of time, right?
Oh, okay.
And this is a Let Peace Out, Rafi, the designer, with the Bullets of Peace.
Mm.
And this is a friend of mine who handmade this in L.A. That I got, and these are all just, you know, actually this ring right here, my grandmother passed this year, and she was buried in purple. Like, all her kids had all these purple ribbons to pretty much, you know, royalty remember her by. And before I left to the funeral, a friend of mine, actually this lady I just met, she's like, oh my gosh, there's this ring I want to give you, right? Didn't pay it on mine, went out to Mississippi and buried my grandmother. Came back and she gave me the ring. I was like, thank you. I'm still mourning, not even looking at paying attention to the ring whatsoever. A friend of mine comes to my house, we're doing landscaping in the backyard, and something says, look down. So I look down and there's this purple ribbon sitting outside of the backyard. And then the voice inside me says, look again. So I looked, and I looked at the ring on my finger, and there's this gold stone, just, I mean, not gold, but this purple stone just sitting on the ring. And I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
She's here.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, everything represents, you know, things I've, you know, just picked up.
Well, it's amazing how energy, I mean, I wear a ring actually right now that my grandmother gave me. And so it carries energy and it kind of puts you and keeps you in a good place. Mm-hmm.
So your grandmother and my grandmother are chilling right now.
They probably orchestrated this whole thing up there in heaven. Like, we ain't got nothing to do. Let's get these two kids together. So, all right. Well, before we go, I play this game with every one of the artists that I come in. They get nervous, just like you did, but don't. It's going to be really simple. Feel free to say it or play it, and it's what's in your ear. So we're going to start off. Let's say it's a Sunday afternoon, and, yeah, you're out in the backyard doing some landscaping or cleaning or whatever the case may be. What are you listening to?
Biggie Smalls.
Okay. That's quick. Okay.
I am.
Yeah? All right.
Loud and loud. Very loud.
Oh, your neighbors love you, don't they?
Mm-mm.
No. All right. So it's Friday night, and, you know, everybody's off work. You had a couple of drinks. You in the boo, chilling. Things are real nice. What are you playing?
A little jazz, a little Miles, Coltrane.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you know, we all listen to music. Well, some of us will listen to music when we feel down, when it just seems like things have gotten to be too much. We're overwhelmed and we just need that something to kind of lift us out of that fog. Who or what usually helps you do that?
The one song that helps me do that is that Pharrell song, Happy.
Yeah.
I get happy every single time I listen to that song.
Yeah. Isn't it incredible how powerful that song? It's so simple, but that probably will go down in history as the most popular song ever. I know.
I know. I mean, I'm just being honest. I could play that song, bam, everything's okay again.
Right. Absolutely. Well, Timothy Boone, thank you so much for being here inside the Soul Lounge. And thank you so much for being here with us. I would love it if you could just play us out with something.
Mm.
Yeah, whatever you want. Thank you.
Sing to?
Yeah, I do.
I had a conversation with myself, going back and forth, picking the pieces apart, lining them one by one. It's made realize that what's inside me
I've got so much to give and little to show. And if loving you now is my mistake, then I'll give it all up before your heart starts to break. It's not you, it's me. Possibility.
Special thanks to Timothy Bloom. Make sure you visit his website, timothybloom.com, for more information on how to get the album and where he'll be performing. And if you want to see Timothy and me inside the VIP lounge, make sure you log on to voanews.com/soul lounge for the video, which we should post very, very soon. I can't wait to meet you here again next week. But until then, take care of yourselves and each other. Peace.
Radio თავისუფლებას.
თავისუფლება ჩემთვის არის წერა რედაქტორის გარეშე. Შენ თვითონ ხარ შენ რედაქტორი. Შენ წერ და ზუსტად ისე გამოდის როგორც შენ დაწერე. Არავინ არ გისწორებს, არავინ ცენზურას არ უკეთებს. Შენ სასრუცა აკეთება, ეს არის თავისუფლება.
ლაპარაკობს რადიო თავისუფლება. გვისმინეთ ტალღებზე FM 107.4-ზე და სხვა სიხშირეებზე. Internetში ჩვენი მისამართია radiotavisupleba.ge.